Coming up next, part two of a very special reaching out, where Teamsters Local 237 President Gregory Floyd continues his conversation with Reverend Robert Royal, recorded in front of a live audience at Local 237's headquarters.
I remember starting off school, we had to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. We pledge allegiance to the flag. The teacher would go around. She would check everyone's hands. If somebody had dirty hands, she would make them go to the sink and wash their hands. On Fridays, it was assembly. You just had to wear a white shirt and a tie. And I remember that. And then I saw some children not wear the white shirt and tie. And then all of a sudden, nobody was wearing the white shirt and tie. Except for me. My parents always made me wear a white shirt and tie. Everybody else wearing colored shirts, and I'm wearing a white shirt and tie. But I understand the concept. We need to go back to discipline and go back to the way we were. So we have a live audience, and we don't want to take up all the time talking, you and I. There's some questions out there. So identify yourselves and ask your questions.
Good morning, Reverend Royal.
Yes,
my
sir.
Name is Don Awano, Citywide Director for Teamsters Local 237. The question I have to ask you is, how do you tie in the young generation into the social media to send out a message? How do you tie it in with your experience? How do you bridge that gap with the young generation with social media?
Well, first of all, as I see it, Donald, there's not enough history that's being taught and implanted in our young people's mind. They have no idea. This union that we sit in today was organized and advanced through the work of men like Willie Lewis. They have a history. Teamsters have a history. Unions have a history. And we're not sending that message out. We're not saying to the young people, listen, you are walking on a road that was paid for you by so-and-so. Respect that and take pride in that. They don't have any concept of leadership. Ask the average young person right now, who organized AFL-CIO? Who is the president of the International Teamsters? They don't know what the hell you're talking about. They don't have no idea, none whatsoever. The Teachers Union, what's his name? Al Shanker. Now it's Randy Weingarten. They have no concept of history, Donald. So how can you expect them? How do you do that? Do what the Teamsters is doing this morning, having your reach out program. Also, developing, I see Sister Akins here from the Educational Department, making certain that you advance programs that inform not only your members, but the members' children what you're doing. What good is educating the members if you don't educate their children? They're the backbone of your union. They're your future. And that's how we bring that gap, Donald, between the media and young people together.
Good morning, sir. My name is Dwayne Montgomery. And the question that I have for you today is, on the election proposal coming up this year, there's going to be an opposition or a choice, a proposition or a choice for people to vote for ranked choice voting. What are your views on that, and how do you feel it would impact future elections, fairness?
I have a problem with ranking, because if you spend enough money, you may be able to go to the top. So the poor fella that does not have a good campaign funds will never make it to the top. So I'm against the ranking. I feel that it's counterproductive, that between you and I feel that it is. And I pray God that somehow the information will go out through the unions, such as Teamsters, to let people know what's up ahead.
Now, Dwayne, when you brought up the question about ranking, tell us what ranking is. Tell us what the proposition is. Is it on the ballot? Tell us what it is. And maybe right now, since we have the airways, we can tell people what we think about it.
What ranking voting does is you will vote for multiple candidates, but you will put them in ranking order from your first choice, the second choice, third choice. And so this way, that is all tended to avoid a runoff election in the event that nobody gets the majority.
That's so in other words, you could vote for three different people and rank them in the order, instead of just voting for one person?
Yes.
Well, that's a disaster. Who thought of that?
That's a disaster.
Yeah. Who thought of that? And that's just for New York City? Or is that nationwide?
No, New York City.
No, statewide.
Right,
New York City.
New York.
Yeah, New York City.
Is that the charter proposal? So we have to... hold on, we have an attorney, Mary Sheridan, in the room. So we,
and that would be affecting, Mary also, I believe, the working party families.
It would, yeah.
No question about it.
It's any one of the charter proposals.
Any minor party. So it's quite counterproductive. It's a disaster in the making.
So it's one of the charter proposals, and that means on the back of the ballot, there's questions, and you got to vote yes or no.
Yes, that's
right.
Correct.
Okay.
And apparently, you should read beforehand, before going, because the print is 7.5 font. Very difficult to read, and they're quite lengthy. So people should read before they go to the polls for voting.
Well, what is really needed, Mary, is Teamsters, like many other unions, have to develop a good political education program. They've got to, as you said, Brother Montgomery, they have to be taught what's up there, what's wrong, what's right, and why we need to take a very serious look at the proposals that are being made. That's it.
Now, we're taping the show, and we're here on October 31st. Election day is next Tuesday. So today is Thursday. People have voted, early voting. Today is Thursday. Yes. We have about 4 days before. If the show were to air on Saturday, which would be the 2nd of November, then that gives it 2 days before the election. So it's basically too late to say anything about it.
Well,
it's like a fast pitch.
Well, unfortunately, I've always believed word of mouth is good. Thank God we're living in an electronic age, technology. Get on the phone, get the message out. You're still able to go and run the stuff off on a mimeograph. Get the word out, if you believe. Because this vote is going to affect the well-being of not only unions, but citywide. People of color can be affected by it. We've got to be able to educate them. So it's not too late. It just means that you've got to be a little, expend a bit more energy, because that's what you're dealing with. It's ironic enough that here we are on Halloween, trick or treat. It's more trick than it is treat. That's what we're dealing with. More trick than treat. And that's why the responsibilities of President Floyd and the Teamsters Union has got a job to do, and it can be done through the help of all. And I'm grateful that we've had this program, because people need to be made aware of what's going on. Donald Trump calls it fake news. Well, it's about time we tell them the truth. About time we tell them the truth. Fake news. That's all I've been hearing.
We have another question from the audience.
Yes. Carl Giles, Director of Teamsters Housing Division. First, I want to say thank you. I love hearing you speak every time I do. Reminds me of being a kid growing up in Harlem, listening to my parents talk in the kitchen with their friends, and it kicks up that same emotion. There's not enough of these conversations being held. You bring me back 40 years ago, and I really appreciate that. My question is actually coming to organizing. Someone who has been around in the 60s and during the civil rights movement and other movements, how can we get the young generation today, how do we as a union, how do we as people of color, educate this younger generation and get them to organize, to understand what they have and what's at stake at being lost if we don't organize?
Well, the truth of the matter is, young people have to be programmed to realize and understand what has been accomplished through unionism. First of all, in the unions, we have educational programs. And that's where you come in, Sister Akins. You have programs. They have to be made aware of what is there for them, already there for them. There has to be an alliance between the unions and some of our higher educational institutes. That's also important. For instance, here in New York, you have Bank Street College, NYU, all of these great. Let's try to find an alliance to build a relationship between them. And then look at it the other way. Just the other day, we were just hearing about kids in college who are playing sports who are going to get paid. Hello. When you and I were coming along, President Floyd, you broke a kneecap or fractured skull. You didn't get nothing but, gee, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But you know how that goes. But in this day and time, the young people have no idea that the unions offer them a wonderful opportunity. We have to sell. We have to reshape our image. We have to reshape our image. We have to teach our young people what are the benefits of belonging to a union. What are the benefits? Look at what's happening on a national scale. They just ruled that public service unions, some people don't have to pay, you don't have to pay no dues. That's a hell of a challenge. But I wouldn't throw up my hands and say that's the end of it. That makes us more vigorous in intending to fight back. That's why I like President Floyd. The theme is he won't back down, and that's what it's all about. You have to educate our young people. They have no concept about unions, none whatsoever. All they know is unions, you just get some money. They don't look at the other benefits from it, your health and welfare, pensions, educational program. This is needed, and that's what I see is happening. We need to educate our young people. How do we do that? You have a responsibility, you, the older folks. Brethren Floyd talks about when they used to wear white shirts and whatnot. Let me tell you something. When I was coming along, if you didn't have a tie on, they made you wear a paper tie. You had to wear a paper tie. And if you talk back to the teacher, you stuck your hand out and the ruler hit your hand. Nobody said it was child brutality. Didn't say that. We've gotten so academic and social that we've forgotten where we came from. Our children are not being disciplined the right way. Doesn't mean you have to beat them to death. But you gotta shake them up a little bit.
Speaking of unionized sports, I remember a few years ago reading that the Northwestern University football team tried to form a union, and they actually went to court and lost, but they actually got together and tried to form a union with their football team. Another question from the audience.
Reverend Dwayne Montgomery here again. The next question, we spoke briefly about some of the issues that the Brooklyn DA, or some of the programs that he's continuing on that came from Ken Thompson. Also, this election, there is a proposal to more or less reconstruct CCRB, the Civilian Complaint Review Board. They want to increase the number of members from 13 to 15. They want to allow the CCRB to have subpoena powers. They want to have them have basically oversight over the police commissioner when it comes down to him changing a recommendation for a penalty that came from CCRB. They want to staff CCRB, sufficiently increase the number of people employed under CCRB to conduct these investigations. And one of the recommendations is that if you have prior law enforcement experience or have worked for NYPD, you are disqualified from being considered as one of the additional employees for CCRB, the Civilian Complaint Review Board.
Well, the truth of the matter is, we know one person who will object to it, and that would be Pat Lynch. You know that. Unfortunately, the Civilian Complaint Board needs to be revamped. The suggestion has been made, as you've said, with additional staff. There's no question that many of our complaints have been cast aside by inexperienced staffers, people who unfortunately don't necessarily embrace color as a means of protest. They blanket many of our people. When you go to the Civilian Complaint Board, you better make certain that you have your ducks in a row. And yet, on the other hand, the police department will not allow you to look at their discipline record. Isn't that a kick in the head? You will not be able to look at their discipline records. That's a joke. So I see it as a good proposal, my brother, and I think it can work. But we're going to have a lot of opposition to it and a fight, no question about it. And it's unfortunate. That's the way life is.
Any more questions from the audience? Yes.
Hi, good morning. Ayanna Ali, Director of Social Services. I'm wondering if you could speak on your opinion about the city as well as labor, the city's labor movement, their response to mental health and the mental health crisis.
Mental health? It's ironic. We have a lot of people working, even in this union, who have all sorts of psychological concerns and issues, and that must be addressed. And unfortunately, the bottom usually drops out first when it's too late. The business agent, the delegates, they have a responsibility to find out what's going on in their shops. There are men and women in the shops who are laboring under some strenuous mental circumstances. We need to be able to get feedback to the union and say, listen, Mary Jones in my shop has a problem. Let's address it. Let's see if we can help. Don't wait until it's too late. Mental health is a serious problem. The drug problem is a serious problem. Hello. You got a lot of functioning addicts working in your shops. And we need to address that. How do we do that? I said to President Floyd some time ago, you have your retirees division, you have your legal division, you have all sorts of divisions. But one thing you don't have, and some of your city agencies have it, you need a chaplaincy division. There is a need for spiritual address. You'll be surprised how many people are laboring under conditions which are unbelievable. Need somebody to shore them up. Don't wait till they die and say, gee, we profoundly sorrow for your loss. Save them while you can by addressing that concern. So I see it as a serious problem. Unfortunately, mental health has become a political issue. It's no longer just a people's issue. It's a people's issue, and that's it. Ask what's her name's wife, the mayor's wife, she's handling mental health. She needs an examination herself.
Well, she was given $1 billion to spend on mental health, and it was spent. I don't know whose mental health it was spent on, but it was spent.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I have another question. My question relates to the homeless population of New York City. As we know, development is going on throughout the city. You can't go down the street, it seems like, without having some type of construction taking place. A percentage of certain construction, I don't know if it's all construction or certain construction, supposed to have a low income or some type of provisions to allow low income housing or housing for the low income. But that, with that being said, there still seems to be an increasing homeless population. And recently it was divulged that the city is actually shipping people out of the city to other states to basically fudge the numbers as to the number of people that are actually homeless. Can you comment on that, please?
Yeah, well, first of all, the homeless shelters need to be reorganized. I don't think anyone that goes into a homeless shelter feels safe and secure. You've got all kinds of personalities within that particular shelter, from drug addicts to the mentally disturbed, emotional persons with all kinds of problems. So if you're homeless, you don't necessarily want to go into a shelter. You'd rather stay on the sidewalk and be free and not have to worry about, like that fella that killed four folks in Chinatown the other day. No one seems to, that is, the mayor does not seem to have an adequate program for homeless shelters. We need to acquire more housing for homeless persons and place them in the proper places. That's what they need to do. So I'm for a change in the policy for homeless shelter. I see it as a dangerous trip. Go to Kingsbridge Armory on 168th Street and Broadway, 132nd Street and Park Avenue, the one in Brooklyn on Bedford Avenue. It's a trip. When you walk in there, the smell will drive you nuts. Plus, you're talking to a person in a homeless shelter, and you wouldn't believe his conversation is off the wall. He's not getting any psychological help. He just stays there, in and out, all day long. So they're not addressing. And as President Floyd said, she got this money, the mayor's wife.
$1 billion.
For mental health. And I haven't seen anything positive that's happened in the homeless shelter. I have not seen it. Not seen it. Years ago, and then unfortunately, your churches also have a responsibility. A lot of preachers talk that talk, but they're not addressing homeless shelters. They're not saying it. But they put up these nice buildings, condominiums and whatnot. They get X amount of dollars for selling their property rights, but in the end, the developers end up with all of the marbles, the good money. So I'm for changing the attitude for homeless shelters. I really am.
Reverend, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap it up. Last thoughts, final thoughts?
Well, my last thoughts would be stay alive. Don't sweat too much about Donald Trump. Sooner or later, he will go. Whether by prayer or whatever, he will go. I'm from a race of people that believe that prayer changes everything. And in due time, in due season, he will go. Don't worry about Donald Trump. His day is coming. What did they say, Ruby and Romaine? Our day will come.
Our day will come.
Yeah. And his day is coming. In the meantime, get into the field. Alert your people as to what is going on. Not only on a national level, but in your own local community. For instance, I was saying to Brother Walker, who is sitting here today, there's a young lady who's going to run for city council. I want to know who's representing my area. What are their interests? Are they committed toward helping to advance the cause that I believe in, work for? So I'm hoping for the best. I've enjoyed this moment, particularly when I sit with President Floyd and Brother Arnold and all of you sitting around this table. You're the engine that's going to run the show. I have confidence. I've lived long enough to believe that my future is limited at the moment, but your future is bright. Pass on what you've learned and your experience to younger people. Don't let it sit up in the boardroom. Take it to the street. Educate your young people. Let them know that union is forever. It's a way of life. It's brought your father and mother and many folks to where you are today. Thank God for the union.
You've been listening to Reaching Out. This was part two of our very special edition here at Local 237. Our very special guest was Reverend Robert Royal.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.